Hi, welcome to Big Fat Positive with Shauna and Laura. On this special bonus episode, we are doing another coronavirus quarantine check-in. And we have a super interesting listener question that we want your input on. And then we're going to close with our BFPs. Let's get to it. Hi, Shauna.
Hi.
It's nice to hear your voice, if not to see you in person.
It's been about 10 months since we've seen each other. I don't know.
And not all of that was because of coronavirus.
I know. A good chunk of it was just, you know, who knows?
Well, and more like physical 9 months. Distance. 9 months. But yeah, we haven't seen each other because first you guys were sick with just normal, non-pandemic illnesses, and then
right.
The pandemic hit.
Yeah. Right. I forgot about that, which, you know, still I am a little bit like, did we maybe have a touch of coronavirus? Because, like, the new research out is that it was probably definitely in LA as far back as December. So,
I am still on team Shauna and Cece had coronavirus. Like,
I know.
I just don't know what else it could be. And it was in the area and there were no tests at the time. So,
And I did get tested for the antibodies, but, you know, that was a couple months after I had been sick. And now we're also learning that if you get antibodies, they could fade away and they don't last forever, right? They could maybe only last a month or two. So it's all a mystery to me.
And those antibody tests are like very unreliable. And especially when you got them, like, what was it, April or May, something like that?
Something like that, yeah.
Some huge false negative rates. So, you could still get the blood test someday and see if you have antibodies.
The test I did was blood test.
But it was sort of like a pinprick of blood, right?
It was.
Yeah, like a venous blood draw apparently is much more accurate. That's what I've been reading. So
interesting.
But I mean, it doesn't seem like something that's super pressing in your life. Although if you did have it and you have antibodies, you can give plasma, which is being used to help people. So it might be worth finding out if that's something you think you can do. So anyway.
Well, I will look into it. And if I do, I will update you.
Please do. So anyway, I haven't seen you in person in forever, but I still want to know how you're doing. It's been a while since we've done one of these COVID check-ins.
It has. It was July 9th when the last one came out. And today is September 16th.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, you know, and we don't do them a lot anymore because not a lot is changing. We're both, as far as I know, still pretty strict about social distancing. And the rules in Los Angeles haven't changed a whole lot about, you know, what you could do. So my life is relatively the same with a couple big changes. First is that it occurred to me recently that Elle is not going to be going back to school this year, right? Her school closed on March 16th, and it hasn't been open since. They're still closed. And even if they do open, I mean, Steve and I are working from home, and her school is where we work. And I mean, it would be a huge commute just to drop her off and all that jazz, you know? And I still don't know if I'd be even comfortable sending her back to school because of the virus.
Yeah, and it's like a preschool daycare type situation. Yeah,
yes.
Which is different because in California, like, kindergarten and up can't even open if your county is like above a certain threshold of the virus numbers. So right now, it wouldn't even matter. Like, you couldn't even open if it was kindergarten and above. But there are some preschools that are open. I know that.
Yes, and I know some people who've sent their kids back and that's fine. I'm sure they also have different circumstances than us. We live with my mother-in-law part of the year, and she's been with us this summer. And, you know, she's in a high-risk category because of her age. And so we need to be extra, extra careful just to keep everyone in our family super healthy. So I realized that she was going on hour three of watching TV the other day. Not my mother-in-law, that I probably need to just buck up and home preschool her for this year for pre-K. Yeah. Because she's so smart and creative and active and energetic. And it's not like she's just watching TV, but I want to teach her to read and I want her to do science experiments and have sensory tables and activities and some of the stuff she's missing out on, you know, this summer. So I have last couple weeks been gearing up. I've gotten so much stuff, and the ball is rolling. Today was actually our first day, official day of pre-K.
Oh my gosh, do you have a schedule?
I don't have a schedule. I'm yet, Laura. I'm starting off just kind of really easy breezy, mm-hmm. just kind of like, you know, what I remember from her school. It's like, okay, let's get on the rug and do circle time and sing songs and stuff like that. But I did buy a curriculum, a pre-K curriculum from a company called Blossom and Root, and I probably will loosely follow that. And I have so many activities. And I should mention, Cece is coming along for the ride, right? She's not pre-K, but I'm calling this preschool for her, too. She already knows. She's like, preschool.
So wait, are you just doing this in your living room, or how is this working?
Good question. You know how my house is already basically like kid zone.
Yes.
Well, we have this bonus room that's like, we call it the family room, mm-hmm. and I have completely turned it into preschool. Ah. I mean, like, it was kind of a playroom before, and now it's like one small part of the room is for like our TV and couch, and then the other huge section, I got shelves, I got preschool table, I got, you know, educational posters. I'll have to share pictures of it.
Yeah, you will.
It was a lot of work, and I mean, I feel proud of it. It's been fun and chaotic and crazy because, you know, I also still have a job.
Yes, that little thing, that full-time job you still have to do.
That full-time job. Oh,
but I'm
my
sure
goodness.
So many of our listeners can relate if they have older kids, and especially kids who are like in grade school, you know, having to like sit through first grade or second grade by computer. It's mm-hmm. a big deal. Seems really, really hard. So
it
I applaud you.
Thank
I also
you.
Love this idea of having a separate space for the schooling, you know, mm-hmm. so it's like they go somewhere, they go to their preschool in the morning and then they come yeah. back. And yeah, I think that psychologically that's really helpful.
Thank you. I'm glad you said that, because I have a little entryway mat rug that I bought mm-hmm. and I actually put it kind of like at the threshold of the preschool, even though it's just like basically in the middle of the room. So it's like when you go over this mat, you're in preschool.
Oh my goodness.
And the rules are you can't wear pajamas, can't run around naked, because there's like a lot of pajamas and underwear, you know, running around in our house. And it's yeah. like, I want them to at least like try to treat it with a higher echelon of respect.
That's so cool, though. I mean, it sounds very ambitious and mm-hmm. exhausting, but it does mm-hmm. sound like you're really giving it a go. So
thank you. And I will say, even though Cece is young, she's almost two, I'm really excited for this for her too, because there was a lot of just amorphous mm-hmm. hanging around, independently play with like the garbled up bin of toys and stuff. So now I mm-hmm. feel excited to kind of give her a little bit more structure too. Like, here's some paint, you know, painting activities and mm-hmm. stuff like that. So, I don't know. I don't know how it'll go, Laura. Maybe it'll all fall apart in 2 weeks. Who knows?
Well, we will need a report back for sure.
Yeah, for sure. So, yeah, that's the big news on our front. Laura, what about you guys? How are you hanging in there?
Yeah, so it just feels like it is never ending. Mm-hmm. One thing that kind of is compounding the problem at this very moment is the fire situation on the West mm-hmm. Coast. Mm. I live in Pasadena, which is a few miles away from the Bobcat Fire, which is mm-hmm. burning in the hills. And it has made our air quality unhealthy, toxic.
Yes.
Like, it's not mm-hmm. quite as bad as Portland, which is where my mom is right now, where it's like the
yeah.
AQI is in like the 400s or something, when anything above 100 is considered unhealthy. Mm-hmm. But like, let me look. Let's see. Today, I'm like obsessively checking this air quality index. Our air quality right now is 191. It's just like, it just says red and unhealthy. And the forecast
That's
says smoke.
Bad. My neighborhood is better today. We are 82. We're in the
Damn,
moderate zone.
We should come see you, except for COVID.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, our like COVID strategy was going outside all the time. And now mm-hmm. we can't even do that. So it's very claustrophobic, and we're just hoping that the smoke gets better soon.
I hope so.
You know, a couple listeners have asked us if we're okay, and we are both safe from the fires, other than the smoke. Our houses are not at risk at the moment, unless there's another fire that comes. I live far enough into Pasadena that I'm not regularly at risk. I'm not really right up against the foothills. So, yeah. So, but it's really, it's just a bummer. And it's just like, you know how, I feel like this whole quarantine thing has made me realize is like, it just feels like a marathon that you don't know if it's ever going to end. And then you pile the smoke on top of it. And it's like just another thing to endure.
Yes.
And we were already in an endurance race. You know, it's like putting on a weight belt during the marathon.
It's so true. It's like, okay, so first you can't go inside anywhere. Okay, got it. Well, we adjusted to that. And then it's like smoke, fires. Well, now you can't even go outside anywhere.
Stay in
your house. Yeah, we stayed in our house too for several days because today is a little bit better, 82 as the AQI. But yeah, it was in the unhealthy zone for several days, even in our area. So we're all getting cabin fever.
A couple days ago, it was 387 here. It was in purple, which is awful.
Oh my God.
Yeah, so we've been staying inside. My toddler, he keeps pointing out the window going, out, out, out. And I'm like, oh, baby, we can't go out, you know? Like, so I'm trying to make these lemons into lemonade by starting my potty training journey.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
The oh crap method, which is one that like a lot of people have recommended, it says that like the first, I don't know, like couple days, week or so, you don't go outside because you're like trying to catch any pee, basically, any poop. And like, you're you don't want to go on any walks. You don't want to run any errands. And I was like, well, we're not going outside anyway. We can't go to any stores anyway. Like, there's nowhere inside to go, nowhere outside to go. Might as well try. So that's what we're doing. I'll be checking in on that in the regular episode some more. But this was my big idea to cope. So now we have a project. Just like your kindergarten, I feel like this is my project, you know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It helps to have something else to focus on. It's actually made me happier to have something else, like, a project.
Yes, yes, exactly. And then the other big update on my end, which I think listeners who are caught up with the show, hopefully everyone who's listening is caught up, is that I am pregnant again. And I made that decision, we made that decision to keep trying to conceive during coronavirus. So I talked about it in our TTC bonus episode, and we'll actually probably be talking about it a little bit more in our special segment. But it's been interesting because it's actually forcing me, obviously, to get out of the house and go to doctor's appointments because you have to go to doctor's appointments all the time. And I've been pleasantly surprised with how well they're going. So at least my OB's office, they actually do allow one person to come with you if they if you need a support person. Of course, like, I'm not sending Corey because I need him to take care of the baby or the toddler.
Well, you could just stay home and take care of the baby.
What? But, I'm like,
I've lost my sense of humor,
apparently. I was like, I don't understand how that would work, Shauna. So, pregnancy and COVID and smoke has completely depleted my sense of humor. I apologize.
Well, I'm sure we've all lost about a million brain cells in the last 6 months.
Right? Oh my God.
Feels like it.
But anyway, so the OB appointments, you can bring someone to my office, which is nice, although I've never taken advantage of it. And everyone just wears masks, and there's like little markings on the floor for where you can sit so you're not too close to anyone in the waiting room, and lots of hand sanitizer. And it doesn't seem that different, you know? It doesn't, except for the fact that we're wearing masks. So, and, you know, now that there's more and more research coming out about how good masks are at preventing transmission of coronavirus, I feel a lot safer being in places like that, knowing that everyone's wearing masks. So, you know, I don't like to linger or anything, but I don't, it doesn't fill me with anxiety going to the doctor's office. So, yeah, but it's been interesting. You know, doctor's appointment once a month. And my doctor, every time I see him, the one thing that's different with the prenatal appointments is he sort of gives me a lecture every time about COVID,
Oh, what about?
Basically, I can tell he has like a little script that he's just telling everyone. But basically, at the end of every appointment, he's like, you know, this virus, no matter what you've heard, this virus is real. It's very serious. You are at a higher risk because you're pregnant. You need to be wearing masks, washing hands, avoiding public places. Don't go indoors. He kind of like, you know, it's like all the basics that you should know. But he's also saying stuff like, he would say, like, what I hear is that it starts to sort of like creep in, like you think you're doing really well, but then you have like a few people over and then you have a couple, like more people over, and then you start to relax. He's like, I want you to not relax. I want you to stay vigilant. And he's like, this time next year, we're still going to be wearing masks. So just get used to it, basically.
Wow. Okay.
Which, you know, every time I want to be like that straight A student and be like, I wish I could show him, like, look, we don't see anyone. No one has steps foot in our house. You know, like, I'm such a good girl. But, you know, he just tells everyone the same thing. So, and I appreciate that, because he's, as a doctor, he's really looking out for your whole health, not just taking care of your pregnancy. So
I love that's been that. Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of, you know, people and getting together and stuff, are you going to have a Zoom baby sprinkle? Can I throw you a virtual baby sprinkle, or what are your thoughts on this? We haven't even talked about this.
No, we haven't. I mean, sure, if you want to be in charge, because you don't have anything else to do.
Oh, I have nothing else on my plate.
I mean, the nice thing is it really would be a sprinkle, because we're having another boy. We have all the clothes we need. You know, we have all the books. We have all, you know, all the toys, basically. We would need, like, some new burp cloths. Actually, diapers. I don't even know. Diapers and, like, probably new, like, bottles. But, you know, for the most part, everything's taken care of. So, I mean, yeah. I would just want to see everyone on Zoom and say hi to people. So,
yeah, it could just be a celebration.
Yeah, sure.
All right. It's on my to-do list.
You get right on it. Oh, thank you, Shauna.
You're welcome.
Yeah, I think that if this was my first baby, I would be a lot sadder about the lack of a real shower. But having a second baby, you're like, I don't need more shit in my house.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. Especially when it's the same sex. It's like, okay, I have so many clothes already.
And yeah, it's all good. So, but anyway, that's pretty much it for me. We're just chugging along and trying to stay afloat and continue breathing. Yeah.
Yeah, same here.
Yeah. So shall we move on to our special segment after a little break?
Yes, let's do it. Laura, we recently had our moms on the show, and it was so fun hearing their stories from the past.
I loved hearing what they had to share about their experiences being pregnant and having young kids, but you know they have so many more amazing memories and stories to share.
Yes, and that's why StoryWorth is such a wonderful gift for the mother figure in your life. It's a way to capture those stories and memories for years to come.
And what better time to give StoryWorth than for Mother's Day, which is right around the corner. Right now, our listeners can save $10 off your first purchase by going to StoryWorth.com/BFP.
Here's how it works. Each week, StoryWorth emails your loved one a thought-provoking question that you get to help pick, such as, what is your favorite memory of your parents?
All your loved one needs to do is respond to that email with a story. Long or short, it doesn't matter.
You'll be emailed a copy of your loved one's response as they're submitted over the course of the year. You'll get to enjoy their retelling of the stories you already know, or be surprised by stories you've never heard before.
After that year of fun, StoryWorth compiles your loved one's stories and photos into a beautiful keepsake hardcover book that you'll be able to share and revisit for generations to come.
I gifted StoryWorth to my mom a couple years ago, and her hardcover book is a special memento on my bookshelf that my girls and I love to look through.
My mom did one too, and included lots of pictures from her childhood, which Sebastian and Augie love looking at.
Give all the moms in your life a unique, heartfelt gift you'll all cherish for years. StoryWorth. Right now, save $10 on your first purchase when you go to StoryWorth.com/BFP.
That's StoryWorth.com/BFP to save $10 on your first purchase. There's nothing like the feeling of being confident in your own skin. No complicated routine, no multiple-step protocols, just simple, scientifically validated solutions.
Absolutely. That's why we have to tell you about today's sponsor, OneSkin. Their products make it easy to keep your skin healthy while looking and feeling your best.
The secret to OneSkin's success is their proprietary OS1 peptide, which switches off the aging cells and has been clinically proven to strengthen the skin barrier and improve skin health markers.
For a limited time, our listeners will get an exclusive 15% off OneSkin products using the code BFP when you check out at oneskin.co.
One of my favorite things about OneSkin products is how easy they are to use. I swear, I've seen skin routines with like 20 steps, but not OneSkin. Just cleanse, pat your skin dry, and apply twice daily.
We aren't the only ones who love OneSkin. OneSkin has over 4,000 five-star reviews, and were recognized by Fast Company as one of the most innovative brands in 2024.
OneSkin is the world's first skin longevity company. By focusing on the cellular aspects of aging, OneSkin keeps your skin looking and acting younger for longer.
My skin tends to get really irritated this time of year, but since using the OneSkin face supplement every day, my skin feels calm and healthy. I've also been using the eye topical supplement, which I really feel brightens up my face.
Get started today with 15% off using code BFP at oneskin.co.
That's 15% off oneskin.co with code BFP. After your purchase, they'll ask where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them we sent you.
Okay, I will be the first to admit that I don't always prioritize my own wellness. With kids and work, it never feels easy to fit in taking care of myself. But with Allo Moves, I find it easier than ever to do so.
Same. With the Allo Moves app, everything I need is in one place. Yoga, Pilates, fitness classes, mindfulness, and so much more.
If you're curious what Allo Moves has to offer, visit allomoves.com and use code BFP for an exclusive 30-day free trial and 20% off an annual membership.
I love that I can easily find a class that's perfectly suited to my interests and ability level. They offer classes from beginner to advanced, and all classes are on demand, so you can fit them into your busy schedule.
They have high-intensity classes if you're looking to get in a good sweat, and low-key mindfulness classes if you're looking to get centered. They even offer help with sleep, which we all know is crucial for moms.
Ever since I watched The Art of Sleep on Allo Moves, I've been falling asleep faster and staying asleep longer.
One thing I really like about Allo Moves is that they create themed playlists, so it's easy to find content on the areas you're interested in. One of my favorite playlists right now is called Meditation for Productivity.
Ooh, I love the sound of that one. Unlock your personal wellness routine with Allo Moves. Go to allomoves.com now and use code BFP for an exclusive 30-day free trial and enjoy 20% off an annual membership.
That's allomoves.com, code BFP. allomoves.com, code BFP.
We're back, and for our special segment today, we have a listener voice memo. This is from Caitlin, and she called in to let us know how she's doing during coronavirus, and she had some really interesting things to say.
And I just want to say this was sent to us back after our last bonus episode, which was back in July, so things might have changed with Caitlin, but I still think it's interesting to hear what she has to say.
Hi, Shanna and Laura. My name's Caitlin. I'm calling from Leduc, Alberta, Canada. I just wanted to call and talk about my experience during this pandemic. So I don't have kids currently. It's just me, my husband, and our dog. My husband works in camp, so he's away for 2 weeks at a time. It's just me home alone, and then he's home for 2 weeks at a time. We are trying to conceive currently, and that's kind of how I found your podcast in the first place, was I was just looking for information on trying to conceive and pregnancy and parenthood, and just to inform myself as well as I could before I reached that stage. So I've completely binged your entire podcast and love it. So that's how I got here. Basically, my experience so far is probably a lot different than yours because I don't have kids and because Canada is doing a lot differently than America. So our numbers are a lot lower. So there's not quite as much of a risk of us getting sick, but I mean, there is definitely still, the virus is still here. So I've been self-isolating pretty much just like as a personal choice, just out of an abundance of caution because I don't want to get sick and because we are trying to conceive. So I've been getting all my groceries delivered, and I basically leave the house two times a day to go to walk my dog out at this like isolated field where I can let her off leash. And that's about it, unless I need gas or something random that I don't do every day, but that's pretty much what I do. I'm lucky to sometimes feel bored. I know that's not a luxury that everyone gets. I know that people who are sick or who have kids or who are working on the front line don't have the luxury of sometimes feeling bored. So I totally acknowledge that privilege. Yeah, I mean, this year has been a roller coaster, really. I started a brand new job in February and spent 1.5 months training in my office when I was sent home to work full time, where I've been working from home full time ever since. And then what happened was our wedding that we had planned for over 3 years was canceled for May, which just added to the that time of just like, I don't know what I'm doing. My wedding's canceled. So those were a really rough couple months. All of our family both still live in BC. So like, I miss my family. I'm homesick all the time. I'm really close with my two sisters. My husband and I decided that we were going to elope because, you know, we've been together for 10 years this year and we've planned this wedding for so long. Unfortunately, none of our family could make it, but it was just us. It was honestly amazing. It was the best decision we ever made. I'm so happy that we decided to go ahead with that. We also saved like thousands of dollars. So that's a nice emergency fund. Yeah. And, you know, after a lot of discussion and some research and just having a lot of time to think and talk about it, we have decided that we're going to continue our TTC journey. For us, it's really about not having like the time to just put this chapter on hold. Like, we don't know if this is going to resolve in the next 9 months to a year, or whether this is going to be a 2 to 3 year ongoing pandemic. Even if the vaccine comes, like, will it mutate? Will this just be around forever? Like, we honestly just don't know. And we don't really have the time or the patience, I guess, to like put our next chapter on hold indefinitely. So with a lot of caution and the fact that the numbers are quite a bit lower here, we have decided to continue that portion. So we're really excited about that. I would say a BFP of mine in the big scheme of this whole situation is that prior to the pandemic, I was commuting 1 hour each way from Leduc into downtown Edmonton every day and back. So now 2 hours of my day that I would have been spent commuting are just mine. I can go to work in the office upstairs and then I close my laptop and I'm home. So that's been a positive for me. And yeah, I just wanted to say that I really love your podcast and thank you guys so much. I know that you put a lot of time and effort into doing the podcast and it's really appreciated. You spread so much knowledge and like you make me laugh, and I just really wanted to reach out and participate in your community. So I hope you guys are doing okay. I know it's really scary where you are right now, and I've been thinking about you guys, and I hope that you stay safe and your families are okay. So hang in there.
Caitlin, thank you so much for sending that in and sharing that with us. I'm so sorry about your wedding in May, that kind of got off the rails, but how exciting that you guys just decided to elope and you did it. And I'm really happy for you. Congratulations.
Yes. And I thought it was super interesting and relatable to hear about how you've decided to continue to TTC. Mm-hmm. I obviously been there as well and made a similar decision. But actually, this really dovetails in with the listener question that we got emailed to us. And I want to read it so we can talk about it a little bit, Shauna. So I'm going to read it. And listeners, I want you to pay attention because we are going to ask for your feedback on this. We want to hear what you have to say. So Gina is currently trying to conceive and she asks, I'm wondering what your thoughts are when folks bring up the fact that more people are deciding not to have children due to the state of the world, i.e. climate change, coronavirus, social unrest, etc. I appreciate everyone's personal choices with having kids and usually share similar personal values and philosophies with the types of folks who are thinking this way. This makes me feel weird when we differ on this particular life choice, and I don't always know how to respond to that idea without feeling guilty. I would love to know how either of you feel about this topic.
Wow, that's a big, deep question and such a good question.
Mm-hmm.
You go first, Laura.
Well, yeah, I mean, obviously, I just went through this, right? And I feel similarly. Like, I can see on paper all the reasons why you should not have kids, right? Like, there's climate change, there's coronavirus, there's possibly, you know, the who knows what's going on with the economy. It's scary, right? Mm-hmm. But it sort of comes down to an emotional decision for me rather than a logical decision.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it sort of, that's sort of always the way you go into having a baby, that it's more of an emotional decision than logical. And for me, I like to think of it as sort of like the most demonstrative act of optimism that you can possibly do, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like having a baby is the most optimistic thing you can do in this world, because
yeah.
you have to believe that that the world is going to be better for your baby one way or another, right? That they're going to have a life that is happy and healthy and all that stuff. So, mm-hmm. and that's just inherently optimistic, because we know that's not always the case. So I think there's that. And then the other thing I always think about is that so many generations have had this thought. Like, imagine being, you know, in the 1919 flu pandemic, which mm-hmm. killed so many people, or living in World War, you know, during the 40s, during World War II, knowing your 17-year-old son was going to get deployed to Europe, or, mm-hmm. you know, and how scary all that must have been. Or like living in the Middle Ages and the Black Death, you know,
mm-hmm.
or there's been so many times in human history where it seemed bleak. And mm-hmm. and I know those are all very Eurocentric examples, I should mention. You know, there's also like just been a lot of famine and unrest and all these things that are so, so difficult and would make you think like this is not a good time to bring a human into the world. But I pick those Eurocentric examples because I'm, you know, of European origin. And I think about how my direct ancestors all lived through that, and whether voluntarily or not, because birth control wasn't really an option
right.
back then, they still had their children that eventually turned into me, you know, like mm-hmm. And I'm glad to be here. Mm-hmm. Like, it all comes down to, I'm glad I was given the opportunity, even though, you know, there's so much fucked up shit in this world. I'm glad to be here. So that's sort of where I land. Like, it's not that our problems aren't bad or aren't unprecedented and aren't, you know, so hard to see through and find the hope in, but it's happened before and we've made it work and humans are resilient. So
mm-hmm.
that's sort of what I remind myself of.
I love that. That's really good. I don't think I considered that much because I kind of jump into things emotionally, like you said. Like mm-hmm. it's just like, oh my gosh, I want to have a family and, you know, just go for it. Thinking about it now, we don't know what the future holds. And even like at the beginning of this pandemic, for example, you know, it just seemed so overwhelming and so mm-hmm. different and weird and scary. And we adjusted to it and got on with life. And there were actually some silver linings that came out of it. You know,
yeah.
I get to see Elle way more than I ever did before because she was in school and commuting down there for so long. And Steve, I get to see more. And I'm really, really bonding with my family and my kids are bonding. And like you mentioned, optimism, I really feel like there's an opportunity to find a silver lining in challenges, and the mm-hmm. perseverance and the adaptation makes us stronger as people, and it makes our children stronger and more resilient. And I want to be putting like strong, smart people into this world, because if the world is falling apart and going to shit, I would hope that like my children and your children, our listeners' mm-hmm. children, who are being raised with, you know, awareness and kindness and conscientiousness, are the ones mm-hmm. that are there to face those challenges. And I don't know what's going to happen with climate change. I think that's the scariest thing for mm-hmm. me, because that, you know, who knows, that could be terrible. I try not to really catastrophize that and just hope that our next generation is the ones that can really tackle that and help turn things around. Someone's got to be there to do it. And we're all smart, wonderful people. So let's raise the little ones that are going to change the world.
Amen. Ooh. So, yeah, I really want to hear from our listeners about this. You can send us an email at contact@bigfatpositivepodcast.com. And you can send us a voice memo to that email. That's contact@bigfatpositivepodcast.com. Or send us a DM on Instagram or Facebook. We're at BFP Podcast. Or comment on our Facebook community group. Just search Big Fat Positive Community. But we definitely want to hear from you, because I think there's got to be a ton of different perspectives. And mm-hmm. I'd love to hear from people who maybe don't share our optimism. Mm-hmm. So yeah, please let us know. We'd love your voice memos, though, because we want to be able to play them on a future bonus episode.
Yes.
So please send those in.
And thank you, Gina, for sending that question in. What wonderful food for thought. And I hope you're doing well, Gina.
Yes.
And with that, Laura, why don't we take a quick break and we'll come back with our BFPs.
Sounds good.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
Shauna, think of all the relationships you have in your life. From parents, siblings, your friends, kids, coworkers, even neighbors. There's a lot of human interaction, which we know doesn't always go perfectly.
Oh, you know I don't have a perfect relationship with my next door neighbor. And I can't change her, but I can work on my own reactions to her and how she treats my family.
Absolutely. Strengthening your own coping skills and setting healthy boundaries in any relationship are important. And therapy can be a great place to work on these types of things.
Not only that, therapy can help you handle stress, deal with burnout, and empower you to be the best version of yourself. Not only that, therapy can help you handle stress, deal with burnout, and empower you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma, although of course it is helpful in those situations too.
I've noticed that doing weekly therapy helps me handle the things that cause overwhelm in my life, like constantly balancing kids, work, and self-care.
I love that therapy helps me have insights about myself that I might not have otherwise. It's always great to get an objective take on what I'm going through.
If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule.
Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge.
Become your own soulmate, whether you're looking for one or not. Visit BetterHelp.com/BFP today to get 10% off your first month.
That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/BFP. Hey, listeners. This episode is proudly brought to you by LolaVie, an award-winning hair care line founded by the fabulous Jennifer Aniston. You know, hair so iconic, it needs no introduction.
Okay, imagine this. Jen got tired of the same old struggle we all face, choosing between hair products that work and ones that are actually good for us. With LolaVie, that dilemma is history.
We all put our hair through the wringer. Coloring, heat styling, stress, the list goes on. Over time, it takes a toll. That's why it's crucial to have products that not only repair the look of the damage, but also shield your locks from future harm.
Enter LolaVie's best sellers, the cult classic Glossing Detangler and Perfecting Leave-In Conditioner. These aren't just styling products, they're your hair's new best friends.
And here's a treat for you listeners. For a limited time, you get an exclusive 15% off your entire order at LolaVie.com. Just use code BFP at checkout. I have been using the Glossing Detangler and Leave-In Conditioner, and I love them. I love how soft and healthy my hair feels after using them.
I love their restorative shampoo and conditioner plus intensive repair treatment. They smell so good, make my shower feel like a spa, and never leave my hair looking or feeling dry.
LolaVie's products are naturally derived in plant-based goodness. No silicone, sulfates, parabens, or gluten, and of course, cruelty-free and vegan.
Unlock Jennifer Aniston-approved hair at LolaVie.com. As our loyal listeners, you'll get an exclusive 15% off your entire order when you use code BFP at checkout.
That's 15% off your order at LolaVie.com with promo code BFP. Please note, you can only use one promo code per order and discounts can't be combined.
After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them that we sent you. Okay, so on our special COVID bonus episodes, we are not doing BFNs. We are just doing big fat positives. And we're doing a personal BFP and a bonus BFP to share with y'all. So, Shauna, What's your personal BFP?
It is pretty related to what I talked about earlier with like setting up the preschool and, you know, mm-hmm. using our bonus room as a classroom. And the BFP is that during this quarantine period, one of my favorite hobbies that has emerged is just rearranging stuff in my house and cleaning things up and like finding new ways to refresh our yard and our room and different things that have always, I haven't really had a lot of time to think about, I guess. And now it's just in my face all the time. It's like, well, what if we put the couch here and this here? And there are so many elements of my home and yard that are feeling just better to me. Like I'm really finally settling into this house after almost 3 years of living here. And the family room, that bonus room we turned into the preschool, I mean, I love it now. I don't think I've ever walked into that room ever and been like, oh, I love being in here. Nope, not once. It just was like kind of thrown together. Like I'm very...
That was literally a room that you didn't know existed, right? When you bought the house.
I mean, we knew it existed, but not when we went to see the house. Like we were going through on the tour and we were like, whoa, what is this?
Literal bonus room. But yeah, I do feel like when I used to come over to your house back in the before times, it was definitely like sort of like an afterthought room, right? Yes. It was not where you spent most of your time. You know, you kind of like threw the couch and there's a TV in there, right?
Yeah, that's our TV room.
Yeah, but it didn't feel like... It didn't have the Shauna touch, you know? So
thank you. And I will say, even though it did feel like that, we had done a ton of work on that room because when we bought the house, I should do some before and after pictures because it was hilarious. It was like basically like some weird Western style room. There was wood paneling that was just looked like wood and this weird 90s tile and these old plaid couches and like weird Western decorations. And so we painted the wood and like really freshened it up and put laminate, did a ton of work. And then like, I think got tired and we were like, okay, just throw a couch in there.
That's right. So, I remember you guys laid down that laminate yourself, right? The flooring?
Steve did. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. He did a ton of work in there. So it feels nice. The layout's so much better now. And we rearranged our backyard a little bit. So the pool is in one side and the swing sets on the other, and it feels right. I'm just very sensitive to like my environmental surroundings and like the spacing and placement of things and the aesthetics. So working on that like makes me really happy.
You and Corey are on this like same wavelength because really? I don't have the energy right now, but every night Corey, he's like looking at his phone and I'm thinking he's on Twitter, but then he's like, what do you think about this couch? What do you think about this bookcase? And I'm like, well, wait, where? Like, he's like, but if we move this here and then we move that there and then we do this. Yeah. Oh my God. All the time. And I keep being like, because we're like considering possibly moving. So I'm like, well, wait, like if we're going to move because, you know, extra baby, we shouldn't buy a bunch of furniture. He's like, you're right. And I'm like, and then I feel like I'm crushing his spirit.
Oh,
but
buzzkill from someone on the other side of it.
I know.
That is so funny. I love that he's like that too. My joke with Steve is that like almost every day for the last few weeks, I've been like, hey, Steve, what if, because like an idea pops in my head and I'm like what if we move the couch here and do this and then we can combine the rooms? And he's just like, okay, he's along for it. So it's been great.
See, the thing is also I can't move furniture right now.
No, you can't.
So he has to do it on his own, which is difficult.
Yeah, that is true. That is true. Yeah.
I do want a new bookshelf though, like a new bookcase, but we'll see. But anyway, that's good. I want to see pictures. I got to get like a video walkthrough of your house or something because I haven't been in so long.
I know.
Yeah, you need to send me pictures or like we need to get on FaceTime and you need to walk me through.
Okay. All right. Let's do it.
Again, in your copious free time.
I know. So what about you? What's your personal BFP?
Okay. So mine is smoke related. Which is, but it's really saving my lungs and my eyes. And that is this hack that I found on the internet about how to like DIY a air purifier.
Oh, yeah. We got some of those too. Tell everyone about it.
So basically, every year when there are fires, I think I should buy an air purifier. Then I do all the research, try to find the best one, discover they're completely sold out for months, and then forget about it, which happened again this year. Mm-hmm. And, like, I mean, it's, like, months until you can get an air purifier on the West Coast. So It's bad. So as I was like looking for air purifiers last week as we were choking in the air, I discovered a news article that said like, and if you can't get an air purifier, you can make one that's actually pretty good. And I was like, wait a second, making things is my jam. Like, that's I want to do this. And basically what you do is you get a box fan that are like, they're conveniently 20 inches by 20 inches. Mm-hmm. And then you get a AC or furnace filter that's like a HEPA rated or like I think what they say is MERV, M-E-R-V 13 or above, which is some kind of rating for how fine the particulates it gets out.
Mm-hmm.
20 by 20 by 1 inch or whatever. You tape it to the back of the box fan. And voila, you have an air purifier. And there was like all these, wow. I think the Wirecutter did a little article about it. I'll post it on our website that is like said that it actually did work almost as well as like the fancy good air purifier.
Wow.
So, you know, and I've noticed a big difference. So we have two of them. And the day the fires started and got really bad, I was like, Corey, you need to watch the baby. I'm going to Home Depot. And he was like, okay. I was like, I was on a mission because I knew that if I waited another day, they would all be sold out, which Smart. They were. I think now they're getting stocked back up. But I went and I bought two box fans and I got the filters and it's been great. So I'll post the link on our website. But the key is you put it on the back of the box fan, not the front, right? Mm-hmm. So I did that wrong the first time and then I had to redo it. And then you want to use like tape and you need to tape all the way around the edges because you don't want the air seeping in from the like cracks.
Oh, right.
So I use like, you know, packing tape and just taped around all the edges so that they're sealed so that the air has to come through the back of the filter. And yeah. And, you know, I just actually replaced my filter because it was already like brown and gross.
That's what I was going to say. Ours is so nasty already.
Yeah. Yep. So, but yeah. So if you are stuck in the smoke or you're just a person who like has a new baby and is worried about the air but can't get an air purifier, there you go. Box fan. And
hack.
It was like $30 or something less. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So
awesome.
Yeah. Okay. Shauna, what is your bonus BFP?
My bonus BFP is a show that Steve and I have been watching, and it's been around for a while. It's on season 3, and we're just now getting into season 3. And it's, you know me, I love comedy. I only want to watch things that are lighthearted and make me laugh. And I don't know why I never discovered this before. Probably because I'm biased against animated shows for some reason. But this show is called Big Mouth. Have you seen this?
I love Big Mouth.
Holy crap. Why did you not tell me that earlier? Because although it is fun to just binge it. I mean,
I am pretty sure I told you about it and you were like, animated?
Probably. That sounds like me.
By the way, also, do you remember when we were both pregnant and we went to that fundraiser in our friend's backyard? The co-creator of Big Mouth was there. And like, I spent forever talking to him.
What?
Yeah.
Who?
Not Nick Kroll, the other guy. It's the guy that John Mulaney's character is based on.
Yeah.
Andrew Goldberg.
Andrew Goldberg is the guy's name. And he's friends with our friends, and you got to talk to him for ages?
He lives across the street, yeah. So I talked to him at both of the fundraisers. Like, the first one, he was like, we were touch chatting, what do you do, blah, blah, blah. He's like, oh, I've got this new animated show about to premiere. And we're like, oh, cool. What's it called? We'll have to give it a watch. And then the next year, I was like, dude.
Oh.
Love your show.
My gosh. Wow. Okay, so for the audience, it is an animated show, okay? And it's about a bunch of like seventh graders and they're going through puberty, and it was created by Nick Kroll, who's one of my favorite comedians. I love him so much, and Andrew Goldberg, who Laura knows intimately, apparently.
Yeah, best friends.
And it's just so funny. It's very raunchy and sexual. So if that's not your thing, don't watch it. But, you know, it just cracks me up so much. They have these hormone monsters that like basically rule their behavior. And it's just so relatable. Like looking back at that time of my life, I'm just like, oh my God, it's relatable. It's hilarious. The jokes, I mean, they're so unexpected. They're just crack me up.
And I have to say, people would tell me about it and they'd be like, well, it's raunchy. And I'd be like, eh, that's not really my style. But it's not like they talk about sexual coming of age stuff, but it's not like,
It's not
gross out, you know, just dick jokes.
No. It's not visually raunchy. You know what I mean? Like, you're not going to see a lot of stuff. Maybe a couple hairy penises.
Yeah, but it has, like, a very, like, sweet, sincere quality to it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because these are still young kids who are sort of, like, coming of age. Mm-hmm. And I think they actually treat their characters with a lot of, like, respect. And it's really, it's really apparent. You know what it reminds me of? It's like the animated male version of Pen 15.
Yes, it totally is. Yeah.
And for people who don't know, Pen 15 is, we think we must have talked about it on the show.
I'm sure.
An absolutely hilarious show by these two women, Maya Erskine or Erskine. I don't know how, she's hilarious, but I don't know how to pronounce her name. Mm-hmm. And Anna Conkle. And they're like adults, but they play basically themselves as middle schoolers.
Oh, man, so good.
It's so funny. And just like, also just like, it has a heart of gold. I feel like that's how Big Mouth is too. Like, It doesn't have meanness at its core, which makes it really watchable and fun and relatable. I love Big Mouth.
Yeah,
I think we need to catch up, though. I think we finished at the end of like season two, and now we need to keep watching. Oh, so
cool. Well, that's something. Thanks to look for reminding me. Yeah, you're welcome. So fun. All right. So, what's your bonus BFP?
Mine is actually a show as well. On the same wavelength. I think everyone's stuck inside, you know, and you're just like looking for stuff to sort of escape into. And Corey found this show, and when he first pitched it to me as something we should watch, I was like, I don't know. But it's completely grown on me. And then we binged the whole season, and it's only one season, unfortunately. But it's called Teenage Bounty Hunters, and it's on Netflix. Have you heard of it?
No. What is this? Is it reality?
It's a scripted hour-long dramedy about two high school twin girls, fraternal twins, not identical, living in, I think, Atlanta. And they go to this, like, super religious private school and, you know, have a conservative background and conservative parents. And they somehow fall into becoming part-time bounty hunters.
Oh, my gosh. Love that premise.
It sounds ridiculous, but it's very much, it's got, like, a very Buffy the Vampire Slayer tone to it, like, very tongue-in-cheek. But you actually get, like, totally wrapped up in the story and want to find out what happens. And it's very dramatic. And, you know, they address a lot of things about, like, sexuality and growing up and trying to find yourself and all that stuff. And so it's very fun and light, and but not mindless. So highly recommend for anyone who wants sort of an escape, but doesn't want to just watch, I don't know.
Married at First Sight.
I mean, I watched Married at First Sight. I did watch that.
I'm in the middle of it. They're all too happy right now. I'm bored. So I don't know. Maybe I should fast forward.
Give it time.
Oh, well, now I'm reinvigorated.
Well,
Thank you. There's
also like 10 seasons. Are you watching the one that's on Netflix? The like, is the basketball player guy in it?
Yeah, there's a bunch of seasons.
Apparently. Oh. I've only watched that one that was promoted to me because you liked Indian Matchmaking. And
yes. Well, that's a good one, too. I loved that one.
I had to Google the end of Indian Matchmaking because I think COVID like interrupted it because it stopped very abruptly.
It did. And I Googled it too. And I know. So you should get to it too.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. But I have nothing wrong with watching the mindless stuff.
Yes.
But when you want a real nice narrative with witty writing and, you know, fun dialogue, Teenage Bounty Hunters is for you.
Yes. Oh, cool. Well, I'm going to check it out. Okay, one more show, just because we're talking about shows and I'm getting excited. Okay. And this is a really fun one. You probably have watched it. I'm not sure. Never Have I Ever, also on Netflix.
Yeah. That one was really fun. Mindy Kaling wrote it, right?
Yes. I really loved that one. So another fun, lighthearted, funny, cute show.
Yeah, I love the romantic comedy. I think Mindy Kaling is like the best modern romantic comedy writer.
Yeah.
And so Never Have I Ever. I think that if you liked Never Have I Ever, you will really like Teenage Bounty Hunters.
Awesome. Can't wait till 7:40 tonight. Those kids are in bed. I know what I'm doing. Oh my goodness. Okay, I think that's our show, yes?
Yeah, I mean, we could just talk about TV all day, but I think that's a different podcast.
That's a totally different podcast. All right, listeners, we want to know how you're doing. If you want to send us an update of what's going on in your coronavirus pandemic life, we'd love to hear from you, and we'd love to share your stories with our listeners. So send us a voice memo. And also, we would love to hear your thoughts on Gina's question about having and raising kids in this environment. So Laura, where can everyone reach us?
Okay, the best way to send us a voice memo or email is to contact@bigfatpositivepodcast.com. You can also just go to our website, bigfatpositivepodcast.com. There's a contact form on there, or you can find links to our Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook, which is @BFP Podcast. Or join our Facebook community group. Just search Big Fat Positive Community. It's a closed/private group, so you have to request to join. If you answer the 2 membership questions, we will let you right in, and you can join in on all the amazing conversations we're having in there, or chime in with your response to our question.
Big Fat Positive is produced by Laura Bierick, Shauna Maiko, and Steve Yeager. Thanks, everyone, for listening. Have a wonderful week. Hope you're all doing well. Love you. Bye.
Bye.